shoulder. Mad angel, let me be. I'm standing at the crossroad, temptation and salvation street.
My next guest has sold over 5 million albums and has 7 number one hits under his belt. Although he's often categorized as country, he's taken up residence all this week in the big city, performing everywhere from the Bowery Ballroom yesterday to Southpaw in Park Slope on Thursday. All of them sold out. But never fear, in just a bit you'll hear him live in our own WNYC studios playing songs from his new record for Capitol called Up on the Ridge. And I'm very pleased to welcome Dirk Bentley. And also he's brought along Ronnie McCrory. Hi.
Yeah, how you doing? I brought along just a new talent in bluegrass music, a longtime friend of mine. He's a friend first and foremost, but he also happens to be one of the most award-winning mandolin players and part of the most award-winning band, the Del McCurry Band. I brought him along for a little extra firepower.
There's a whole McCurry family.
That's right.
Now, the problem I have is that I don't quite know how to describe you because you seem to be mixing up a bunch of genres on this new CD.
Sure.
So how would you describe yourself in this particular album, Up on the Ridge?
You know, music always gets put into some sort of box that can be sold. You know, we have about 4 descriptions, it seems like, for most of popular music. And, the guys that are actually making the music and writing the songs are influenced by so many different types of music. So it's kind of hard to sometimes label your music one way or the other. Hopefully, when people hear this record, they're a little confused. And I mean that in a good way. I hope they hear it and they think, well, that kind of sounds bluegrass, but there's drums on it. Or that kind of sounds like a country song, but there's no electric guitar. You know, hopefully it does ruin people's expectations of what they think a bluegrass record can sound like. So it's really a combination of bluegrass and roots and country. And just, to me, bluegrass is part of country music, and I'm trying to legalize it on this record.
Well, someone once called you a country music maverick.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is one of the reasons people don't do this as much is because they're worried about DJs. The DJs have very strict formats. And,
sure.
Are you worried at all about that, or has radio changed so much that it doesn't matter anyway?
No, it matters. Country radio is kind of has given me the platform to do this type of record and make musical choices like this. But when I went into making this record, the key thing to making it properly was to let go of any expectations that country radio would play it at all. I didn't let go of any expectation that it would be nominated for any awards. Just let go of all those expectations, and once you do that, the whole world opens up for you. It's a beautiful world. You can make music and not worry about, you know, genres or boundaries or any of that stuff. And the lucky thing for me is the country radio did embrace the record to some degree, and they played Up on the Ridge, and they played they're playing Draw Me a Map right now a little bit, and the album's been nominated for Album of the Year for the Country Music Award show. So it kind of came back around, but originally I made it with zero expectations of anything like
well,
that
musicians often talk about the problem that they have when they're expected to stick to one genre because they grew up listening to the music they're playing, then, and rock music, and maybe jazz, and in your case, I'm sure bluegrass as well.
Yeah, I grew up listening to country music, but I moved to Nashville when I was 19, and I just discovered, like so many people have, they think they're discovering it for the first time, I discovered the world of bluegrass music. I walked into a bar called the Station Inn, and on stage was the guy that's standing here to my right, Ronnie McCrory, was on stage playing a little band at the time called the Sidemen. These guys that, when they were off the road, they'd get together and jam down at this bar, and I walked in and
You're proud of being a Sideman?
Yeah. I was younger than he is right now.
Yeah, I was 19, and you probably first started playing down there at 16? Or
We moved to Nashville in 92. I was 20-something. So.
Yeah. So I go down there and watch these guys play, and I got turned on because they're, you know, it wasn't about the music business side of it. It wasn't about the, you know, what you're wearing or the videos or you know, posturing. It's all about just loving music. And they were playing these bluegrass instruments, the mandolin and the dobro and the upright bass and the fiddle. But they're also playing country songs. And a lot of times you'd hear them singing a Merle Haggard song or a George Jones song. And then they'd go do some songs I'd never heard of before by guys like Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs and Del McCurry. And so I immediately fell in love with not only the music, but just the whole community. Whereas the music, the country side can be a little bit more competitive, and the bluegrass side, everyone was so embracing and just welcomed me in and started making me mixtapes and inviting me to picking parties where there's moonshine and mandolins, and just it was such a fun time. And
you can play acoustic.
And I started learning how to play the acoustic guitar. I kind of sat down in front of a Tony Rice DVD, or VHS, I should say, back then, and spent about 2-3 years just we're not worrying about country music at all. I'm just trying to play rhythm guitar.
Yeah, that it's weird. It used to be the other way around. People played acoustic guitar, and then they had to learn how to play electric guitar.
Yeah.
Now you have to do the reverse.
Well, I found on the electric guitar, you can. There's a lot of room. There's a lot of ways to cover up your playing. You can put on a lot of distortion and gain pedals, and you can kind of just play power chords, and they sound pretty cool. With an acoustic guitar, there's no way around. There's no way around that.
You got to know how to play.
You actually have to be able to kind of semi-play it. So.
Well, let's talk about that. You're going to play Kris Kristofferson's song.
Sure.
It's called "Bottle to the Bottom." What appealed to you most about it? Is it the lyrics?
Yeah, I think any songwriter in Nashville that's worth anything, loves Kristofferson. I mean, he's such a great writer and such a great poet, really. And at the time that he was writing these songs, there weren't a lot of songs like that being written. It was a little more, I won't say simpler style of writing, but a little more straightforward. And he was just doing internal rhymes and just kind of blowing people away at his style of writing. And always been a big fan of his. And I heard the song. My friend John Randall played it for me, and Kris played it with a kind of a bluegrass rhythm. It was a bluegrass song. He just didn't have the rest of the instruments on there, on his acoustic version of it. So we thought we'd give it a little extra kick and turn it into a full-fledged bluegrass song.
And then you got him to sing it with you on the CD.
Yeah, and then that's the whole way this record turned out. Just a lot of organic things came together. He was just happened to be in town a couple weeks. We wanted to get him on there. We thought, well, maybe we'll fly out to Maui, where he lives, and get him to sing on it. But then we looked at the bluegrass budget and realized that I didn't really feel like flying a Cessna 152.
He should only get to Denver.
Yeah, we can only get to halfway, and halfway to Maui is not a good place to land. So we got lucky. He was actually passing through town, going to the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, historic Ryman Auditorium. So we got him for about 25 minutes, and it was great.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah, we'll get this one off here. Bottle to the Bottom. 1, 2, 3.
You wonder if I'm happy now. That's good as any joke I've heard. It seems since I seen you last, I done forgot the meaning of the word. If happiness is empty rooms and drinking in the afternoon, well, I guess I'm as happy as a clam. But if it's got a thing to do with smiling or forgetting you, well, I don't guess that I could say I am. Did you ever see it down and out or waking up alone without a blanket on to keep him from the dew? When the water from the weeds has soaked the papers he's been putting in his shoes to keep the ground from coming through. And his future feels as empty as the pockets in his pants because he's never seen a single dream come true. That's the way that I've been feeling since the day I started falling from the bottle to the bottom, stool by stool. Learning hard to live with losing you. You wonder if I'm better off with the freedom now to choose the things I choose. Well, all my time's my own and I've got nothing left but sleeping time to lose. There's no one here to carry on if I stay out the whole night longer. Give a tanker's damn if I don't call. I'm living like I wanted to and doing things I want to do and nothing means a thing to me at all. Did you ever see it down and out or waking up alone without a blanket on to keep him from the dew? When the water from the weeds has soaked the papers he's been putting in his shoes to keep the ground from coming through. And his future feels as empty as the pockets in his pants because he's never seen a single dream come true. That's the way that I've been feeling since the day I started falling from the bottle to the bottom, stool by stool. Learning hard to live with losing you.
Dierks Bentley and Ronnie McCurry playing and singing. A Kris Kristofferson song, Bottle to the Bottom. You know, I was thinking about the drums with bluegrass. I was tapping my foot the whole time. Do you really need drums?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, some that record, there's a little bit of drums on there, but a lot of the songs, you know, the mandolin, the way Ronnie plays it, you know, a lot of times you're getting those crispy notes. A lot of times it's just a percussion instrument. It's a kind of a snare drum, and you really don't need it when you got someone like Ronnie standing next to you.
How did you arrange this residency in New York? You're doing different things in different places.
I was just kind of got together with my management. We were talking about something fun to do, and they put it together. And in theory, you know, for a long time, I was like, that's a great idea. We'll go up there and we'll do a country music, you know, play with my country band, which I did last night, the Bowery Ballroom, create a little rock bar. And then we'll do something with the Del McCurry band, which should be a lot of fun. Then the next night I'll do a songwriter's night, which
it's at Joe's Pub.
At Joe's Pub, with some friends, my good friends from Nashville, just kind of bringing people into how it feels to be in Nashville, sitting on someone's porch with a bunch of friends who have written a couple hit songs. And then the fourth night, be at the Punch Brothers in Brooklyn, and it looked great on paper, and then the reality of that it was actually coming up starts sinking in, and it's been one of the biggest challenges I've had all year long. Just it's a lot of, you know, this is the most, tonight I'm playing with the most award-winning band in bluegrass music. I don't take that lightly, and some of the best musicians that there is in bluegrass, and so I don't want to just go in there and just do it. I want to have it be one of the greatest performances I've ever had. So it's a lot of work just learning Del's songs. He's learned my songs, and it should be a lot of fun.
Well, on this CD, 5 of the 12 songs you wrote, but some of the other ones come as a surprise. There's a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah, we cut a song of his called Senor, which is actually the first time I heard that song, I heard it through Tim O'Brien. Tim O'Brien, one of the great musicians and songwriters in Nashville, part of the band Hot Rods for a long time. He covered it, and he had that on one of his records, and I didn't even realize, this is terrible, I didn't even realize it was a Bob Dylan song. I just thought it was a really cool Tim O'Brien song. If you've heard Tim's version of it and heard Bob's version of it, they're totally different. But Tim actually turned me on to a lot of Bob Dylan's music because he made a whole record called Red on Blonde, which was all his cover songs. Tim's got red hair. He's got all his cover songs of Bob Dylan, so he really turned me on to a lot of Bob Dylan tunes, and I always wanted to cut that song, and we did on this record with the Punch Brothers, and it really... It turned out to be a pretty cool take on it, I think.
But you're going to perform another song for us, your own, your Dead to Me.
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of Tim O'Brien, I'm such a fan of Tim's and that song, and I just always wanted to write a song with Tim O'Brien, and we wrote a song called, you know, You're Dead to Me. In bluegrass music, you got to kill somebody at least every, like, third song, you know. You pick them up with a gospel song, and then you get a good fast mandolin song, and then you kill at least one person. I'm doing a song with your dad tonight. I think we kill two people in the song, and one guy loses three fingers and a thumb.
That's right. So.
It's a bluegrass tradition. Yeah, this is one called You're Dead to Me. It goes like this.
1, 2, 3. Well, come on in and sit right down. Surprised to see you're still around. You broke my heart, that's history. But I'm still alive, and you're dead to me. I hung the crepes up on my door. I cried for you 6 months or more. I gave a heartfelt eulogy, then I said goodbye. You're dead to me. It didn't take a gun, didn't take a knife. I did not have to take your life to bury you beneath the weeds. I'm over you. You're dead to me. It's plain to see you're above the ground. You haunt the streets of this old town. You're still as fine as fine can be. Well, that's good for you, but you're dead to me.
It didn't take a gun, didn't take a knife. I did not have to take your life to bury you beneath the weeds. I'm over you. You're dead to me. Well, let me pour you a glass of wine, and I'll leave the poison out this time. Already killed your memory. I'm over you. You're dead to me. Already killed your memory. You don't take this wrong. You're dead to me.
Bentley and on guitar, and of course he wrote, co-wrote that song, singing lead vocal with Ronnie McCurry, doing harmony and playing mandolin. And Dirks is all over town, I guess, in celebration for this new CD called Up on the Ridge tonight at the City Winery, and then Joe's Pub tomorrow, and then the Southpaw in Park Slope in Brooklyn on Thursday at 9 p.m. So. Yeah. We're pleased to have you here in New York. What's your next album going to be like? You going to do the
same
sort of
thing? Yeah, I think I'll take kind of what I've learned off this record and the fun I've had making this record. You know, part of this record I actually made over in Brooklyn and just had a great time making it. And take some of the fun and the acoustics of this record and combine with the maybe a little more kick drum and electric guitar, but kind of a combination of the two.
Well, we're going to go out with a little bit of Robin Gambler from this new CD. Yeah. And I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us.
Honored to be on the show. Thank you so much. Real pleasure. Thank you.
I'm the roving gambler. I've gambled all around. Wherever I meet with a deck of cards, I lay my money down.
Lay my money down. Lay my money down.